advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King with me, Todd.
You say funny things.
I want to thank Brent for giving me and Dave a laugh every opening of the show.
You guys spiked the Pendleton Midnight. That shit is like hot today.
It never stops being funny watching his.
I put Seco in it.
It's like jet fuel. That shit was warm.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I don't know what to do.
Yeah, the whiskey bottle clanking, glass clanking.
Well, I change to the super heavy glass and it does.
You're going to break a fucking bottle.
It's like a.
Yeah, like you're banging rocks together.
Mm-hmm. I'm not worried that much about him breaking a bottle because I don't think any permanent harm will happen, except he's
whiskey
such a
crotch.
Fucking spaz that now he'll make it that he has to break a bottle on the opening every episode.
Turns into OCD. Yeah.
I just have to contact a bar and get recycled bottles.
Yeah, but there was a person who loved the quote, rituals and obligations for OCD, because we all have our OCD moments. I know Dave is partially OCD. I am too in certain things, and so is Brent. Brent's worse than all of us put
combined,
together.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
I'm the person that walks in and like straightens your business cards. Like I don't like anything like not lined up. Yeah.
So. I fix the one at the coffee shop across the street constantly.
Yeah.
I walk across and just
things are not in order. I don't like it. Like these laptops have to be spaced.
One day I went to Taco Bell. I think I said it on here before, and someone had like
organized the packages.
Organized the packages of the taco sauce, and I appreciated it like it was a thing of beauty. I stood back like I was at an art.
It was a piece of art. Yeah,
I
would have been
whoa.
Impressed with that though, like because it's usually like a bunch of families went in there with their shitty little kids and they just fucking fingered.
No, it was
all
so
them.
Impressive though because they did like a weave. It was like there was not only were they straight, it was a pattern of like left, right, left, right, left, right. It looked like the bacon.
I think
weave.
We mentioned this before.
I think we did because I said bacon weave and you were like, "What's a bacon
oh the bacon weave?
Weave
oh, yeah, that's right. The bacon weave.
That's what
the
it reminded me of.
Bacon weave." And then we had a picture of the weaved bacon.
And I probably said it was unbelievable because I could see myself.
No, I don't think you did that.
I don't think you did.
No, I didn't.
All right, Bugs Bunny.
No, I'm stupid.
And I wish you kind of hadn't.
So you said you had a story. You could take over.
Yeah, I posted it on Instagram. I got sushi this week. And
you mean you got rice and seaweed?
Vegetables, vegetable tempura sushi.
Vegetables. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Vegetables.
Vegetables. You get vegetable sushis. And it's still delicious. And I got it, and I didn't want to go with the typical wasabi sriracha thing, so I got my collection of El Yucateco out, and I started doing like a taste sampler of all the hot sauces.
You had sushi at home.
I only do anything at home.
Oh, okay.
Like, what are you talking about?
I'm the OCD like, guy. You won't leave your house.
You think I went to a restaurant and ate there?
That's what I was trying to
think. I'm a fucking idiot.
That was the picture.
What the hell's wrong with you?
What kind of weird shit is that? I don't know.
And there's white people there, Brent.
The thing that's funny, though, is like the side of town I live on, that's what everyone does.
Yeah.
Like there's an Italian restaurant on my side of town, and you go in there, and for every one table, every one group waiting to sit at a table, there's like three people waiting to pick up to-go orders and go home and eat. I don't know. I must have moved to the right side of town.
I prefer to sit down. Like, I mean, this
now
is
you just moved to the side of town nobody wants to be outside on. It's like you get shot.
My family gets mad because they just want to run through the drive-thru, but I hate being the guy that has to order all the shit in the drive-thru because everybody's got like no onions or some special shit. So I like going in and be like, hey, I'm getting the number four, and I just step aside and hand my
wallet
off.
Because a face-to-face argument is always better than through the microphone.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So I just don't want the, it's like an anxiety thing where I'm just like, I'd rather just sit down and eat. I don't want to be rushed. I'd rather eat there than take it.
So what sauce did you find was better with the sushi?
The Caribbean.
The Caribbean.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the Caribbean, yeah, was my go-to favorite on the vegetable sushi. I went through the Caribbean, the black, the Chipotle, the regular.
Yeah, I went red, not being
the jalapeno,
weird.
Like, but yeah. The Chipotle was good, but the smokiness kind of didn't work. But the
Dave's trying things I haven't tried to get ketchup. I was all on pancakes and chocolate cake. No,
if the smokiness didn't work, then the black wouldn't work.
No, the black didn't work.
Yeah, it wouldn't work.
It was all about the Caribbean. And then I was very happy.
That makes sense.
So I have a new sushi favorite.
Caribbean's an ocean.
That's right.
Area, place. That makes
sense. They grow rice in the ocean.
They do.
So it all works. There it goes.
Fish are in the ocean, but you didn't have fish.
No, I had cucumbers. But there are sea cucumbers, which I didn't have.
And water chestnuts. They weren't in there either.
Just to name a few.
So anyway, with the rituals and obligations thing, I actually, we're going to do a shirt design. So if you're into that, you have OCD, we have a shirt design coming out, which soon our store will be up. And we've been saying that.
Yeah, and we were thinking too. It would be funny if you guys have a quote that you think is funny and think it'd be a good shirt, like
messages. Not your own quote, fuckers.
No, one of our quotes.
We said, yeah, because those are funny sometimes.
Mama always says, "Laughs like a box of chocolates." That's what my mama said. Don't send us that shit. Yeah,
and
we don't care.
And Chris Willis will send us whiskey, moonshine. Yeah. I gotta go to the store drunk and get more moonshine.
We love Chris Willis.
That's my impression of you, Chris Willis.
I put Dan
on blast. Dan Camarillo from Camarillo Jiu-Jitsu. I put him on blast. I went to lunch with him yesterday, and he didn't have any hot sauce with him.
Just because he's scared of habanero.
That's his kryptonite. Yeah, he was talking about it. He can't eat the habanero. It hurts him.
He messaged me this morning.
Does bad things.
Yeah,
he likes my show better than your show. So there.
Likes your show.
Yeah, he's watching Stranger Things, not Between.
Oh, no, that show's better. Yeah. That show's better.
Your show, I looked it up. It got 22% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
What show?
That's horrible.
No, it's kind of like the 100. Like, you have to get through a few episodes. Yeah. But he was talking about population control. And I was like, I just watched that show. I was like, it's pretty good. Like,
what show?
It's called Between. It's a Netflix show. Yes. And really, the reason I even clicked on it is because it was Sam from iCarly. The little smart aleck.
You creep.
Girl.
I know.
Yeah, I was creeping. Yeah. I was like, oh Sam from iCarly. She's grown up. Well, no, the first scene, she's pregnant. I was like, yes.
All those thoughts, Brad.
My baby.
Are okay now. Fucking creep.
She's 23. Calm down. Calm down.
Now.
No, she's been.
I'm worried about
She was in her 20s, like on iCarly.
I don't think so. I'm worried about your relationship leading up to the now. That's my problem.
Maybe. Yeah. It doesn't matter. It's all fantasy.
So I
it's okay to think about it. It's not.
And I do want to give a special shout out and thanks to the local nomads, Adam and Gabby. We've shouted them out on the show before. Check out their stuff. They're actual they're travel bloggers and vloggers.
Video logs. Oh, flogging? I thought that was like a dance.
No, vlog.
Oh.
Flogging is like beating the shit out of
someone. That's not a dance? No, that's like how I dance.
Flogging will come later when we get into the show's topic, for now it's vlogging and blogging. But they sent us from the Grand Canyon, I believe, ass-kicking jelly beans made with habanero peppers. And they are supposedly on the bottom, kick your ass hot. And then
Dave's uncle made those.
They sent us a prickly pear cactus candy as well.
I've never had prickly pear cactus.
And a rubber ducky with a ranger
hat. So check them out. It's a really cool website. They've got really good stuff. They both graduated from college in New York and just sold all their shit and hit the road. They're just like documenting.
And they sent a nice postcard of how they had to listen to our show traveling.
Yeah, they had to
miles to just to get internet. Yeah, they had to download the show.
Yeah, they had to travel to where they could get internet so they could download our show and listen. But check them out. It's localnomads.com. It's a cool website. Do you guys want to try the cactus or the jelly beans?
Both, sir.
All right.
Yeah, I call
those
bullshit
fucking lawn clippings. Like, it's gonna be
lawn clippings.
Lawn clippings.
Yeah, the jelly beans
smells like Play-Doh.
I thought you already had some. What is this one?
I just smelled it.
Okay. Jalapeno jelly beans.
Cherry.
Orange.
I have no idea. Citrus Play-Doh.
Oh, and there's a jalapeno.
Oh, habanero. Yeah. I was waiting for it. And then
the habanero.
Yeah.
That's actually good.
Smack, smack. Brad's smacking like mad.
I approve.
I got to show that I'm eating it.
That's right. Because you know I can't see it.
It did. Yeah, it did get a little
that's
warm.
Because it smells like it. Actually, it's pretty spicy. And that's coming from Brent. It's and it smelled like Play-Doh and tasted like delicious. That's weird.
No, it was
that
good.
Usually doesn't happen where something. Maybe it's like when you open ham, there's that nasty fart smell, and then it's just ham.
That looks like a hand.
And then we have the prickly pear cactus candy.
I get sloppy thumb thirds. Everybody's just
I'm not
going to
say anything
there.
Until Brent takes a bite.
Yeah. Everybody held their dick earlier when they took a piss, and I get to grab some fucking cactus with everybody's face. Dick hand. God damn, it's a lot.
Good God.
Just put it in your mouth. You want to talk about Play-Doh?
It tastes like a... I don't know.
Yeah.
It's reminiscent of something.
No, it tastes okay. It tastes like those orange slices a little bit.
Mm-hmm. The texture is like that. The
texture is rough. I'm going to have to... Good God, I'm going to have to go to the dentist.
Yeah, it's in there.
Oh, man. That's chewing wall paste.
That's what it made, something industrial. It made me think about some kind of industrial material.
Yeah, the flavor is good, but the texture is disturbing.
It tastes like asbestos. Yeah. So,
thank you, Local Nomads. That was awesome.
It's not your fault. You didn't make the cactus. You just bought it.
Man, that habanero jelly bean is creeping up on me still.
They're warm. It's still in the back of my throat.
Okay, so speaking of the back of your throat, today's topic is Genghis Khan.
Mm.
I just thought I would try an awkward transition.
No, it's good because...
If awkward was your goal?
One in 200 men can trace their lineage back to Genghis Khan.
That's true.
That's impressive.
That's very impressive.
That's manly.
I was going to save that for later because he had like a meeting he brought in. He started to get old and he brought in like a Taoist monk to advise him because he thought that the guy would have the secret elixir of eternal life.
Yeah.
And he just told him, stop having sex and you'll live longer. And
that apparently didn't happen.
I don't think he took that advice.
No. They said they're like, there's no evidence that he took the advice of the monk.
Yeah.
I didn't dig in deeper on that because they just said scientific studies show that one in 200 men. Mm-hmm. I thought it was Asian descent.
No, it's like the world.
It was one in 200 men in the world.
Well, because the fact of the matter is, I mean,
everybody traveled from that area.
The empire went at the height, like after he died, when his son took over, was the height of the empire.
Right.
But it spanned from Japan to Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
I mean, it went all the way down into the Middle East.
It was 12 million square miles.
Yeah. It was the largest empire in the history of humanity.
Impressive.
So it's like...
It went on for a century after he died.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for another hundred years, the empire was still around and his sons ran it.
And you have to figure, he had three sons?
Well, apparently more than
that. Wait.
One in 200.
He had three sons from his first wife, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He had three legitimate non-bastard sons that were like the heirs, like that were his family. But then like their whole thing was raping and pillaging.
Mm-hmm.
So when all of his sons are then raping and pillaging, and then he's got tons of daughters that he's marrying off to other kings, and then they grow up and join the army and rape and pillage. And it's just this, you know, spreading effect. But they estimate that something like 16 million people right now are his descendants, I think I saw.
Interesting.
So, yeah, that's it's
I like
he,
to pillage.
He spread his seed. They say that scientifically they say he's the most successful biological father in human history
over Christ or over God. He's always not a biological father.
No, biological father. Like they specifically say, but you know, he might have not been the, you know,
yeah,
he probably didn't pay alimony, but he was the best biological father.
Like, so he's like my dad.
Yeah, exactly. As far as spreading your seed goes, that's what it is. So no, we've looked at a couple of other ancient societies and, I've always been really interested in the Mongols, but didn't know a ton about them. And I wanted to learn a little bit more. And I don't think I ever realized exactly how much ass they kicked and exactly how much land they conquered.
Yeah. Like Chinese aren't Chinese. They're, the Mongols. Like, that's what happened. Like, he went and whooped all their asses and took over and killed millions of them. So, like, actual Chinese heritage is, it's actually taken over by Mongols.
Yeah, they said he killed upwards of, like, not him specifically, but his armies killed upwards of 20 million people.
I even read as high as 40 million.
Yeah, that was, like, the low, like, just, like, the base, like, average number.
I mean, there's no, you know, census being taken.
People talk about, like, the Armenian genocide, which a million Armenians were killed, right? Yeah. Well, he went into Persia and killed a million people right away. Like, just ravaged them.
They say that in...
So why is everybody crying?
When he went to...
So I want to know, like, everybody's had problems.
When he went to what is modern day Iran, he is said to have killed 3/4 of the population during his invasion. Yeah. 3/4. They say that Iran didn't hit.
They didn't run.
That's actually how they got their name. Yeah.
They did. Yeah.
How'd you get away, Iran?
Iran.
They're all, what happened? Genghis Khan came. What'd you do?
Iran. Oh, that's what we'll call you.
And it went off his quote, you know, only a fool fights a battle he can't win.
That's right. And then they said that in Iran, they didn't reach pre-Genghis Khan levels of population again until the 20th century.
Damn.
Because so many fucking people were killed. 800 years it took for them to repopulate. Wow. They say that he killed 11% of the world's population at the time.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
That's pretty.
That's a good ratio. Yeah. Like, that puts pretty much anybody else to shame.
That does.
And I read a quote which really sums up his philosophy. And when I read it, I had to double check that this was a quote to him, because it's actually in the original Conan the Barbarian movie, he says a variation on this quote. But a quote attributed to Genghis Khan is, "The greatest joy for a man is to defeat his enemies, to drive them before him, to take from them all they possess, to see those they love in tears, to ride their horses, and to hold their wives and daughters in his arms."
Yikes.
Holy gangster. Shit. Yeah. Like, that's the mission statement.
Yeah. Like, do you want to join me? Yeah.
Can you sum up what you're about, Mr. Khan, before I sign up? Yeah. So, defeat the enemies, drive them before you, take all they possess, see their loved ones in tears, ride their horses, which is just kind of a
horses.
It's like stealing your car.
It's like, it's like,
I took your car and your bitch.
Fucking sleep on your couch.
Yep.
Fucking pet your dog. Mm-hmm. Shit on your carpet. Like,
shit on your carpet.
Yeah.
That was one of his bylaws. You don't do that. You've obviously never conquered a neighbor's house.
Yeah. I always shit on my neighbor's enemies' carpets.
First thing I do when I conquer a neighbor's house is shit on their carpet.
I've been flushing this whole time.
No, that's how you establish dominance.
Mm-hmm. Every time I take a tour of a model home, I just shit right in the middle of the living room. Toilets never work.
It's great for hotels as well.
Yeah. I told you guys a story that I worked with when I did electrical work, and that guy was climbing through the frame. I don't know if I said that on the podcast.
I don't know.
Is this a gay analogy?
It has nothing to do with Genghis Khan, but I worked with this guy that was real crazy. His name was Kevin, and he would do, like, I don't know, he was always late. The boss was yelling at him every day. He was like a grown-ass 12-year-old. He was probably 36 at the time. I was 18. Mm-hmm. And we did electrical work. So we worked in, like, framed houses, and we worked in custom homes. And it was only like two, three guys would work. Sometimes you just go work by yourself. You need to finish something up. Well, on a Saturday, like, we were behind, and he went to go work on a job site, and you have to crawl up into, like, a ladder to get up in the attic, what would be the attic of a framed house. And then sometimes you got to crawl, like, in a custom home way over to the other side. And if you got to go to the bathroom or something, like, now you got to crawl all the way back the ladder or do some ninja shit to drop down from a vaulted ceiling. Yeah. Probably not doing that.
Like 20 feet too.
Yeah, so nice, it's like, uh oh. Yeah. So he got himself in trouble, and he needed to take a shit. And he's out on a job site. It's like out by the river. It's like custom homes. Like, no one's around. Like, normally nothing's going to happen, right? So he decides he's going to put his feet across two of the studs in the attic. He's all by himself. And there's, like, a box full of, like, scraps and cleanup, you know, 2x4s and a piece
in the
of
box.
Wire, and tries to see if he can shit in the box. That's just a bad idea. But he straddles these 2 2x4s and squats and pulls his pants down the attic and starts shitting from the attic into the box. And apparently no one was there to witness this other than the general contractor and the owner of the home. He starts plopping in the box, and all of a sudden he hears, "Excuse me?" while he's dropping turds from the attic into a box. And then he's all, I'm sorry. I thought no one was here. Like, I thought I was alone. Oh, okay. Then it's so okay to shit right. in a box from the attic because that would have been fine.
I can't even laugh at that. That's so funny. Like, it is.
That's, I can't. Because the reason it's so funny is that guy, like, he already committed to buy the house.
Yeah.
Like, there's no unshitting the attic. Like, that
that's where
guy,
his dining room table is.
That, that guy has a permanent ghost shit in his house.
I mean, that's a conversation piece. You know what I mean? Like, you almost keep the box.
You almost keep the box.
Get it bronzed.
Yeah, I mean,
it goes on the fireplace.
Yeah,
you keep pine cones in it for Christmas and shit.
Yeah, I just, yeah, that's man, that's a that's bad idea. Great.
So he conquered that house.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Basically, he should have right then and there kicked out the owner and the contractor. Like, this is my house.
Yeah, that's
like,
right.
He didn't know the rules.
No,
Dave.
He didn't know the rules. He didn't know the rules.
That's what
a,
happens.
There's a pissed off history buff right now because we're so off track. He's fucking mad.
Yeah, there's somebody right now.
You know what, Mike? If you don't like Mexican food, go to Mexican restaurants, man. That's
there's
how
a stop button.
That's how we do it. Yeah,
there's a stop button. You can go find a shitty podcast to listen to.
If you don't like it, send us your address. We'll come shit in your house.
Fucking three shits in a triangle right on your carpet. Like a fucking crop circle.
Shitagram.
We'll shit the SK logo in the middle of your living room.
And fall asleep on your couch, drinking your whiskey, clutching your women.
If you have a horse.
Watching your grandma cry.
Have a horse.
Yeah, if you have a horse, we're riding
if you have a horse, we're riding that shit. Animal, fuck it.
Wow.
I knew it was just a
I'd like to back away
time.
From Brad right now.
Okay, but yeah, so
Genghis. I'm ramping up. You want to keep going?
So Genghis Khan.
You got sheep?
Born with a blood clot in his hand. Did you see that, Dave?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw that, but
it meant he was going to be a great warrior.
Yeah, it's like an omen of a great warrior. Yeah,
that was Mongols' tradition.
It was back like before Mori Povich. Like, if you're not the father, like, he knew, like, if it was holding a blood clot, there was no denying it. He is the father.
So, and he was, they, again, I think it's just guesstimates. Sense. They think he was born in 11.
Mori Povich does nothing but genetic testing shows.
Yeah.
And I know, but the blood clot doesn't have to do with genetics. That was like.
That's his motherfucking son.
Huh?
Don't try to kill my joke, fool.
It didn't make any sense to
You're
me.
You're over there fucking horses, and I'm making jokes.
It was imaginary horses.
Mine was a real joke. So.
It wasn't funny, so it has to be funny to be real.
Somebody's laughing somewhere.
Maybe. Dave's laughing at you.
Okay, so he was born, they think, in 1162, so this puts it back, you know, quite a ways. Mm-hmm. And he was and his name isn't Genghis Khan. That was a title that was given to him after he conquered. His name was Temujin.
Mm-hmm.
Temujin.
So I'm sure whatever it is, we're pronouncing it wrong.
Just say Timmers and you'll remember it.
Timmy. We'll call him Timmy.
We'll call him Timmy. Yeah. There, Temujin.
Give everybody a
We call him Timmy.
Timmy.
We'll just call Genghis Khan Timmy.
And his blood brother, Shimmy.
I didn't realize how fucking, I didn't realize how much in need of unification the area was until I read about his childhood, because his mother was a slave that was kidnapped by his father from another tribe and
worked,
was forced to have children. The father, when Genghis Khan was 10 or when Timmy was 10, 9, was poisoned by members of another clan.
Rival tribe. Yeah.
Because that's just how they fucking rolled.
That's how they established power. And the same way that Genghis or Timmy moved on was that to establish power, you have to run all the tribes basically.
Right.
And that was never done before.
No, it had never been
done. It was multiple tribes throughout the whole area.
And just constantly
had never had a single ruler.
Yeah. Just constantly at war.
Yeah, for no reason too. Yeah. It was just like, they're just another tribe. So we're going to go kill them. Like, well, we're going to rape and pillage them.
I think a lot of it was also scarce resources, because one of the things I read said that he killed his stepbrother when he was only a kid in a dispute over food. For the family.
So what happened was, they even at the young age of 9 or 10, he was very much in, you know, the loyalty type thing, you know, like, if you're loyal, that's the thing that matters,
right?
And so his brother was basically unwilling to share a hunt that he got, and he shot him in the chest with an arrow.
Damn.
Just because he wasn't sharing with the family.
That's, right. That's a long way from sharing Legos.
Yeah.
That's some
shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he shot him in the chest, killed him, you know, he died. And, all because he wasn't sharing with the family. So his best interest was the family.
Right.
And that's why he did it. So, I mean, if you see it, if everybody's starving and somebody's not going to share food with you, then and they're just going to keep eating your shit,
yeah,
then get rid of them. I mean, they're poison.
I think a lot of this is just scarcity of resources, because even after his dad was poisoned, the tribe kicked the mother and all the kids out because the tribe wasn't going to try to feed this mom and six kids without the father there to hunt. So it's like,
I think it was also had something to do with leadership. Like if there was,
they lost the leader.
Yeah. They lost their leader and no one took the position. So they scattered, like everyone just kind of scattered.
They went to the other
joined
tribes.
Other tribes. So it was something to do with that too. Like they probably went back to where they got kidnapped from and they're like, hey, that dude died, I'm back. Yeah.
And then he himself had got kidnapped by another tribe as he was growing up, and he fought his way out and escaped. He got married, and that's where he had his sort of what they would consider his legitimate sons with this first wife. Mm-hmm. But even she got kidnapped.
It was strategy. Got married in by strategy. He knew that he needed to rebuild the tribe, and so he actually went strategically married into that tribe.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, because the whole purpose behind it was that he's got to get revenge for his father. So he wants to take out that tribe that killed his father.
Right.
His mom quoted to tell him something like, the enemies of your father are your enemies. Or
Yeah.
She ingrained it in him at like age 9. And then 10 years later, at age 19, he still has it. You know, they trained from childhood, like on horseback, shooting bows. That was really impressive.
Well, he started that.
I think that's Mongolian culture. Like they trained and did you see the thing where they time their arrow releases as the horse's hooves leave the ground? So it's that they period of like smooth as the horse's feet
perfect
leaves
shot.
The ground. That's when they release the arrow. So they hold aim. And when the horse gallops,
well, we'll get into the war tactics and whatnot.
Cause it's crazy. Their tactics were insane.
Well, what happened was he married another tribe leader's, daughter or whatever it was. And created this, like, where he would be able to take over that tribe is basically what happened.
Okay.
He was able to use their army. They got attacked. They stole his wife and he got her back. And then she was pregnant.
And that tribe that he got her back from, though, was one of the like rival tribes, one of the
biggest
largest
tribes. Yeah.
Biggest tribes. And at age 19, he had already defeated one of the largest tribes.
Right.
But yeah, Brad's back 9 months right after he gets his girl back. She has a baby. So it's like,
they don't know if it's the other tribe leader or his baby. And he doesn't know. And it said that he raised it as his own son, you know, so you don't know.
How's a scientific study that they can trace 1 in 200 back to Genghis Khan when they don't have his DNA? How do they have his DNA? How do they know this?
His sons.
They have his DNA.
Yeah.
They have his DNA.
Yeah, but right here we have an illegitimate son that we don't know. Like if that was
multiple sons.
That first son might not have been his though.
He had multiple sons.
That's some fucking scarce math.
Well, I think what it comes down to, because the thing that I read, I was trying my best to understand the actual scientific study, but good luck with that.
Right.
What it was actually coming down to is that they were tracing a particular genetic marker back to an era. Like they found this genetic marker everywhere and they were very surprised by it. And when they were tracing it back, looking back in time, they found that the marker began in the same exact historic era of Genghis Khan.
Yeah. Okay.
So their assumption is this had to have been Genghis Khan's genetic marker because it's the same marker. That's the time frame. That's the region. It would have been him at the top of the heap, having all the sex, having all the children.
At the top of the heap, having all the sex.
I mean, it could have been somebody else. It could have been Genghis Khan's cousin, like, you know, Player Khan that was running around next to him, you know, but odds are it was
Mongo with gold chains and shit.
That's right.
Shaka Khan.
I could see Player Khan being a fucking rapper too.
Yeah.
New album from Player Khan.
Shaba Khan.
Shaba.
That's actually it's a Mongol gaming convention. It's called fucking Genghis Khan.
Genghis Khan.
Comic Con? Genghis Khan? Nah. Motherfuckers, you guys.
Comic Con isn't a gaming convention. It's a comic book convention.
Well, that's because that was a nerd test and you passed. King of the fucking nerds. They just all dress up like Mongols and shit at the Genghis Khan.
They'd be like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
You laugh at me now, 8 years from now, it'll be fucking Genghis Khan fucking number eight. Eighth annual Genghis Khan. But it's going to be spelled with C-O-N. And we're just going to ride horses and hunt wolves with eagles.
What?
You haven't seen that shit?
No.
Okay, Genghis Khan aside, Mongols currently hunt fucking wolves with eagles. It's the coolest fucking shit you've ever seen. Look that shit up on YouTube. It's fucking crazy. Those dudes look like Genghis Khan, ride a fucking horse with an eagle, a big ass fucking eagle, and they fucking shoot off their arm and it goes over and fucking attacks a wolf and kills it. The fucking eagle. They trained the eagle to kill wolves. This is real shit. Jesus, it fucking happens. I'm not lying. Brad, you shake your head, you're going to be impressed in your bedroom by yourself and you'll never admit it to me.
All. I'm just putting my head on my microphone.
Brad's always impressed in his bedroom by himself.
Yes. He's just like, it's not bad. It's pretty good.
It's the biggest one in the room. You know,
I heard 6 is average, so it's pretty good. It's like 6 1/4.
just over the top of my one fist.
The head sticks out when I grab it.
It's the biggest one in the room.
Biggest one in the room. That was the key.
So
his little brother was sitting next to him, though. It's creepy now.
At this point, though, Genghis Khan starts to unify the steppe tribes, all these different tribes that live in this area. And he's the first one who's ever done it.
Yeah.
And a lot of this, he's... A lot of it comes down to a genius that he had at tactics, not just military tactics for like how to attack an opponent, but the tactics for how to get people who he just attacked and killed to join him and be loyal.
And don't forget about Jamukha or whatever. That's his blood brother.
Yeah, did Jamukha.
You find that?
Yeah.
I read a little bit about him.
That's a huge part.
Jamukha.
Yeah, that's a big part.
We call him Jimmy.
Jimmy and Timmy.
So what's up with Jimmy?
They became blood brothers. Like it seemed
when they were really young
age, like age 9 or something. And so he co-leads with that guy this whole time, actually. So even when they go to this other tribe and whatnot, Jamukha, like they share leadership the entire time. But tension starts to build with him, actually. It's actually a really important character. I'm surprised you didn't come across
it. I came across the closing of the Jamukha chapter, but I didn't know how big a part that he played in the building of the early step.
They share leadership, and like what Brad had said about loyalty earlier comes into play, because in traditional Mongolian hierarchy, they only promote to military leadership, the elite, royalty, blood, you're the Khan's son, and so you're going to be the general.
Right.
But Timujin or Timmy went in the face of that and basically said a farmer's son or some,
because he was
son.
A great, he was a
badass,
a promised warrior.
Yeah.
And he was super loyal. And so he would promote them to his highest
and
ranks.
Skill. His most important things were skill. If you're a badass, I don't care if you're a farmer or not. Yeah. You're a badass.
You're
if
fucking
you can
over
fight.
Here throwing everybody. You're stabbing people. You're killing people.
Yeah,
you rape 30 women.
Yeah. They
had wrestling style tournaments and whatnot, grappling style tournaments. Yep. And if you're good with the bow, he promoted those people regardless of their lineage.
Which is smart.
Yeah, right, it is.
That makes more sense.
They said that he ran it as a meritocracy, which basically meant if you had a lot of merit, you would get promotions.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that, again, that just spit in the face of the way everything ran at the time. It ran like most things do. If you're the royal family, you guys get all the perks. You guys get all.
Well, it makes
and he
more
was
sense.
Like, fuck that. He didn't give a shit about who your family was, who your relative was.
The farmer's son's been working his ass off. He's probably fucking muscle bound badass. Yeah. He can fucking wrestle. And the other guy's an entitled fat fuck that's been eating all the sheep meat. You know what I mean?
So the fat fuck either has to fall in line or get killed, and the fucking farmer is going to be promoted, or even enemies. Like if he conquered another group, the best warriors there, he would be like, "Fucking come on!"
Well, as long as they submitted to him and said, "Hey, we'll follow you."
But that was the first sign of tension between the two, between the blood brothers, Jimmy and Timmy.
Well, they actually Jimmy split the tribe. So
after that, because that started to happen, and then Jimmy wanted to move somewhere else, and Timujin
wanted to
stay and settle and whatnot, and
kind of like a husband and wife.
So they split up for 2 years
until Timmy attacked.
Yes,
actually, what happened was Jamukin ambushed Timmy's army.
It started with an accusation. Him. He accused Timujin's guys from stealing horses or some shit. Sent one of their guys back dead on horseback, and then he ambushed them when they were not ready and devastated.
Yeah, killed them. And that's the point where Timmy said he would never lose another battle.
Yeah, he swore and vengeance. Swore.
So Timmy got fucked up.
Timmy got fucked.
So
destroyed.
Genghis got fucked up by
Genghis
Jimmy.
Got fucked up by his brother Jimmy. Okay. Hardcore. Yeah. He ambushed him and killed most.
So
of
he
the
went.
Army.
He went back, rebuilt his army, started training. And went and fucking went over and destroyed them. And
his fire tactic Jimmy was badass.
Yeah, Jimmy went into hiding. He took off basically for 2 years, came back, and
hold on, don't tell that fire story. Like, so that when Genghis goes to fucking fight him and lights all those fires.
Oh yeah, that was
really cool.
So that's when he started his psychological warfare. Yeah. So what happened was he had his army,
and he was very good at.
Yeah, so he had his army come up, and he knew that Jimmy's scouts were watching, and so, like, I guess in traditional Mongol fighting, each soldier would light a fire. Well, he didn't. He did that, but he had each soldier light five fires.
Yeah, and so the scouts were quoted to say that the army was so large there were more fires than there were stars in the sky. So when the scouts went out and looked, they're like, "Oh shit!" Because yeah, like, it looked five times bigger than the army was. Right. They went back and told Jimmy. They're like, "Hey, man, we're fucked."
And he did, and he had a shit ton of soldiers. So when they lit five fires apiece, yeah, like, it probably looked like 500,000 people. Yeah. Were
but
out
the
there,
other
like,
big difference that Timmy had was, like, we're just fucking comfortably calling him Timmy and Jimmy.
Timmy and Jimmy.
That's his, all that's his American
all
name.
His conquering, and he ends up being a South Park character, fucking Timmers. So the other thing he did was create, I can't remember what it's called, but he created an actual like a military structured hierarchy of generals that was much more like defined than the traditional Mongol, like just fucking battle cry, like a storm of fucking cavalry.
Right.
He actually had like archers in certain positions and had groups that were like,
well, it was strategic. He would lead groups away into traps where archers would shoot them.
Leave soldiers in reserve that were just hidden out of sight. So when the battle happens and everything's chaos, and they would come around and flank them, like all kinds of things that hadn't really been done before.
Right.
And so, and that,
it's part of the thing. Like when you look at the stuff he did, a lot of what he did doesn't seem impressive on the surface. Like you look at it and you're like, well, of course you would do that. But it's like no one did that. Nothing like the things he was doing had ever been done.
Everybody would full charge into
each other. Just scream and run at each other and fight. Yeah.
And he would even have his guys hold the battle cry until right before they hit, so they didn't waste any energy.
Right.
Yeah, he kept them silent all the way up, and then just silently started firing arrows when the other cavalry came in range.
Right.
I was impressed with the arrows. They were made of bone.
Wooden bone, yeah.
Wooden bone, and they would fire up to 500 yards accurate.
I wrote that shit in bold on my notes. I was like, damn, 500 yards?
That's impressive.
Yards?
Yeah. Like, this is 1,200, you know.
Like, you would see a dude, you would be like, oh, I'm good. They're way the fuck over there. Shink.
Nope.
Like, oops.
Yeah, no,
500 yards.
Because like, there's a historical thing of his best archer. And it was actually his nephew named Asungi, and he hit a target at a archery competition at what they called 335 alds, which is 500 meters or 1700 feet, a third of a fucking mile.
Yeah.
And a part of it was because of the bow. They had a recurved composite bow, and it was a bow technology no one else had.
It was literally a compound bow.
Yeah,
it was a
recurved composite. But so I mean, but it added you didn't have to pull as hard to get the same energy out.
Yep.
It had higher velocity. It had higher range. It had higher accuracy. It could be fired from a horse. All like it was the ultimate bow. And I even read that after the Mongolian Empire fell in parts of China where the Manchu dynasty took over, they made it a law for the next 200 years that every bow they ever saw would get destroyed because they were so afraid of the Mongols and their bows.
Yeah.
So that type of bow that they made almost vanished from history because they did such a thorough job eradicating them. And if it like a couple survived that people found, but they tried to destroy every example of their bows that were out there
because that was what the danger was.
I'm doing Brent math in my head. It's 5,280 feet in a mile, and it's 3 feet per yard. 500 yards is 1,500 feet. That's more than a quarter mile.
That's what you said, three quarters of a mile. Yeah.
Third of a mile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a third of a mile.
Third of a mile.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's fucking nuts. That's like racetrack. Oh man, that's to hit a target, not just, it would go farther.
Yeah,
that was to hit a target accurately. That's 500 yards. Like that's insane. Like horseback.
If you know what real bows do now, tell us because that's fucking crazy. Actually, yeah.
Well, I mean, bows now are insanely fast. They're insanely accurate, and they go insanely far.
Right,
but you have to think about it in terms of the year.
I mean, this is like this recurve bow, though, like our best recurve bow that's still that technology made out of some composite material and some super
probably nothing
like
near
what's
that.
What's the
yeah, like what's the equivalent? That, yeah. You don't think it's that good? You think it's not as
not
good?
A recurve bow? No, like a compound bow for sure.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah.
So the other thing is that I think played a part in it is for history for hundreds of years, even after Genghis Khan was off the scene in warfare, arrows were not used for precision. You had a line of archers that would fire roughly where the people were going to be, and you didn't even know if you hit anybody.
They wanted to rain down.
You're just raining down.
At an angle.
You just shoot up at an angle to hit roughly where the people are going to be. You're going
to
kill somebody.
It's no skill to be
not.
An archer
right,
at all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You just had to aim up and fire at the same arc everybody else did, but not them. They were riding on their horses and accurately picking targets and nailing them.
Yeah.
You know, it's circling them on horseback and picking off individuals, and that was unheard of and terrifying. I mean, they would just sweep through enemies.
What year was Robin
accurate.
Hood? Where's Kevin Costner come into this? I want to know, like, because he's like splitting arrows and shit, even when girls blow in his ear. So
that's a made up story. This is real. That was before Christ for sure, right? Castle Times.
Man, history guy over here. Before Christ was Castle Times. I'm pretty sure Castle Times came after Christ.
Did they? Like 1400.
I like how you just referred to it.
Oh no, because I'm thinking Castle like you know Christopher Columbus era. Like everything's more civilized than Castle Times.
It is more civilized.
Now from here on out, we will refer to it as Castle Times. I love that.
Yeah. Before Christ, Castle Times.
For the most part, this is before Castle Times.
Jimmy Timmy Castle Times. What's dinosaur times? What do you call that? Just dinosaur times? Big lizards? You know, back in big lizards? Before Castle Times.
Not lizards.
But after Jesus.
Right.
Mammals.
Yeah, there's a range.
All right, move on. I'm sorry.
So, yeah, but the bow was one of the key factors in what they were doing. I forget where we were.
That's just his movement into war tactics, basically.
Well, he stomps Jimmy, though. Stomps him.
Yeah, stomps his buddy out.
Jimmy and a couple of generals take off, and they go into hiding for 2 years.
Yeah, Jimmy comes back. Jimmy comes back.
Jimmy gets brought back.
Two of his
generals
were traitors, and they brung him back to Timmy thinking that, you know, they could give him a reward, you know, whatever, and they could join his army and this and that. Well, he just says, you'll get your reward, execute them.
He immediately orders
kills them. And then he tries to offer Jimmy to come back. He says, hey,
I forgive you.
Yeah, I know
you can
do right.
Damn, that's a diss to the guys that turned him in.
Yeah, I know you can do right. You know, you're my blood brother. Like, you know, just come and join me.
His wife warns him from the side and says he's not loyal. It's not his way, that kind of thing.
Yep. And then he whispers in his ear. This is from the book that Genghis Khan supposedly told the Chinese writers. And
yeah, it's called the Secret History of the Mongols.
Yeah.
And it's been around forever. I mean, it came out shortly after his death. Yeah. So, I mean, this is a...
Yeah, written in... The Mongols didn't read or write, but he told Chinese...
Whatever that writing was, they kept showing in that documentary. It was really cool. I don't know what it was.
It's like it's Chinese. It was a Chinese text.
Well, he spread it. At the beginning, they didn't read or write, but he forced reading and math upon everyone he conquered, to the point that a lot of people getting conquered wanted to be conquered,
right?
Because they saw the advances that other people had because they could read and they could write and they could do math. Yeah. They were all guaranteed freedom of religion. So unlike any other conqueror, it was like, look, we can still worship who we worship. They're going to teach us magic numbers. They're going to teach us how to write our words.
And that all happens.
Well,
like,
because
this happens because of what just happens.
Yeah. And the crazy thing about Genghis Khan was that he, you know, on his journeys and going to stomp out these other societies, in his society, he wanted everything unified and everybody to have everything and everybody to share everything.
Right.
Well, so it was this crazy, like,
well, just, the big thing we're skipping is, so that Jamukha guy offers, or he says, you can come back, I'll forgive you.
Yeah.
He says,
he whispers in his ear, he says, there can only be, like, there's only one sun in the sky. There can only be one Lord.
God on earth or something. Yeah.
There can be only one.
Yeah. He says, do me the honor.
In a Ren and Stimpy voice.
Yeah. Do me the honor, Stimpy.
There can be only one.
And spill no blood, you know, take
give me an honorable
death. death. Yeah. So he puts stones on his legs or like a stack of wood.
It was like a stack of, so picture, this is the thing to visualize.
He's kneeling.
You kneel and on the back of your calves, if you were kneeling, they put a stack of logs that's tied up. They're roped up
like to make a circle.
So like you could sit back on the logs. Picture that like behind your knees, they put logs like behind on his like heels across his calves.
Yeah.
And then they put a stick, like a staff across his shoulders, like a spear.
So his arms are up on it. Yeah.
So bind his arms up to the spear, like, you know, a crucifixion. And then two soldiers
push down,
grab
on the
his arm and fold him backwards over the logs and then just push down and break his spine backwards. That's how he killed him. Because that's how he asked to be killed.
Yeah. Well, that's how he killed him.
That's
without spilling
death.
Blood. That's the noble death.
Well, because that was part, wasn't part of it. Like if you died without having your blood spilled, it was a more noble death.
Yeah.
Because I had read that there was, I forget where, one of the places that he conquered, he thought that the royal house wasn't dishonorable or anything bad, but he knew tactically they had to be removed because they were never going to let him stay there.
Yeah.
So he was, and everybody in the area thought it was absolutely fucking brutal because they didn't believe this no blood thing. But Genghis Khan thought he was doing him a favor. So he took the king and the queen and their children, including a newborn, wrapped them up in a rug and kicked them to death.
Oh. I did not read that.
Wrapped him in a rug.
And everybody in the court was like, oh my God, this fucking barbarian is kicking the king to death.
Yeah.
And all the Mongols were like, that was a good death.
Yeah. Fucking A. Legitimate. No, so we did skip a part. When Jimmy actually conquered Timmy's army for the first time, which did the slaughter, he caught a bunch of generals and high up guys, took them back to his camp, and they had this giant pot.
We're going
to
call it the Big Indiana Jones People Cooking Pot.
Yes.
Like a Bugs Bunny cannibal pot.
And it's actually a quote from a Will Smith song back when he was fucking the Fresh Prince.
Yeah, so he had this giant boiling water pot. It's huge. And they threw the generals in one by one and boiled them to death.
While the other generals watched.
Yep.
Can you imagine like the involuntary spasm of trying to crawl the fuck out of that pot?
Dude, I think once you hit the water, like you're...
Fuck.
That right there was brutal. Like the rug kicking, like that's pretty fucked up. But the boiled water, I was like, these guys came up with the most inventive ways to kill people.
Oh, yeah, they did.
It's kind of like the Vikings, like the fucking spread eagle, fucking cut your back open, pull your guts out through the back. Like,
yeah, that's
shit. There was a guy who... I have it in my notes. I can look into it, but there was a couple of innovative deaths. There was one I read
innovative
where
deaths.
That's
like my punk band name. Yeah. Innovative death.
They conquered this, fortress, and the fortress was renowned for having these massive wooden doors that were unbreakable.
Yeah.
But they were able, because they were geniuses and they had amazing siege engines, the likes of which Europe didn't see for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
They were able to break down the doors. So they got in there, they captured the entire royal family and all of the even like cousins and whatever, put them in the courtyard of the castle that they were in, tied the
These are castle times. Okay.
They tied the giant wooden door down on top, like a castle door, like massive, huge door.
It's got to be 12 inch thick or more.
Tied it down on top of the entire family. Veins. And then they had a victory banquet on top of the doors. To slowly crush them to death the doors. So that was another.
So you're just eating some turkey leg while they're screaming.
They're screaming for help and getting slowly crushed to death.
Oh my God.
And then another one was there was a castle that, a place that they invade. It wasn't even invasion. They sent a group of traders to establish trade with a place that they hadn't conquered.
Yeah.
And they had huge diplomatic laws. Like if you sent a diplomat to them, they would promise he would not be harmed.
Yeah.
If you sent a traitor, he would promise they would not be harmed.
Yeah.
He would not harm anyone that you sent to negotiate, to talk, whatever.
Yeah.
And he promised that within his lands, they would be safe, and they were, and he kept his word.
Yeah.
So he sent a group of traders to establish a trade route with this group. And the people took all of the silver and all of the silk that Genghis Khan's people sent to trade and killed all of the traders.
Yeah.
So Genghis Khan got pissed, went, sacked the place, got the guy who ordered the death of all of them, melted down all of the silver that he stole and poured it down his throat.
Oh my God.
You know what? That's where they got that from Game of Thrones.
That's totally where they got that from Game of Thrones.
Yeah. That's insane.
Because a Khan did that.
So, let's talk about Beijing, because that was an important thing.
Well,
so,
and that you skipped the whole him becoming Khan, though.
When he defeats Jimmy,
yeah. They declare him.
No.
The people declare him.
They defeat Beijing first.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Because he defeats Beijing.
Oh, you're right. You know, because he immediately attacks China in opposition to be like quick on attack before they can react, because he knows that China would never allow such a strong enemy.
Yeah, he picks up a huge army because he beats out the other biggest army in you know, Mongolia. So yeah, so he has to go after China.
That's right.
And he crosses over, and China's super advanced at this point. They're way more advanced than
the
Mongols.
Well, they have the Great Wall.
Yeah, they have the Great Wall
on the border.
Which is funny because they talk about it. Yeah. They're like, how is he gonna get past this Great Wall? Well, he just goes around it. So he went around the Great Wall and immediately meets this city. And they talked about China was ahead of them. They knew he was coming. And he met some nomads on the way that were basically mercenaries. And they basically said, hey, we're here. We're going to join you.
Yeah, so that was cool. Awesome, because they have so much money, they just hired mercenaries. They said something like, you're like a handful of sand and we're all the beaches of the world or something.
Yeah, they said our land is so vast that you were like a handful of sand. And so how are you going to defeat us?
And so they didn't even bother with like their army. They just hired mercenaries. But as a general rule, mercenaries aren't very loyal.
Right.
You know, like they got paid and then they saw Genghis and they're like, oh shit. And they just like threw
their
shit.
Yeah, they're not going to be able. Yeah.
We're on your team. And then they just fucking got
on
the team.
Which was a wise choice. Yeah. I mean,
the other thing about seeing Genghis coming is that he was like, one of the reasons they were so powerful and they were able to do what they did is because by the time you heard he was coming and you as a tactician or as a leader, you knew, oh, well, if the army was reported in that city, it's going to be 20 days before he gets here.
Yeah.
And they would show up like 5 days later.
Oh. Yeah.
Because
she wasn't ready.
As soon as you heard they were coming, they were already there, because unlike a normal army was slowed down by a supply chain and they didn't carry a supply chain. It was just soldiers and horses and extra horses and more horses.
They just rode
and rode. And they didn't stop. And even to the point, and they would do things, because I was like, well, how does that work without a supply chain? And one article I read was that in order to push themselves and keep the calories they needed, since they didn't have a supply chain while they were going to conquer, there were two tactics that they would do. They had one thing that was called tartar, which is still around today. They
cream
call it
of.
Beef tartare is a dish that you eat raw beef, but they would take beef or lamb or some meat. They would season it. They would cut a chunk of it and they would put it under their saddle and they would ride for 1,000 miles. And somehow the heat of the horse's body and the motion would like tenderize and cook it. So they would have this big slab of food under their saddle that they would eat. And the other thing that they would do is they would
take... How shitty is that for the horse?
Yeah, exactly. Come on, dude.
What is this on my back?
You got a steak on my back. But the other thing is, how shitty is it for the horse, is that they would, when they were in an area where there wasn't any food and they didn't have their supply chain, they would rely on the tartar, and they would also rely on a mixture they would make from particular grasses that had, I don't know, a higher fiber and protein content or something. They would mix these grasses in with horse's milk 50-50 with horse's blood. They would just bleed their horse a little bit, get some blood into a cup, stop the bleeding, put in horse milk, put in grass, swig it down. We're good to go. Let's keep riding.
That's delicious.
Horse milk. You never think about horse milk.
Horse milk and horse blood and grass.
They were resourceful.
Fucking raw, fucking butt meat.
Now let's think about horse cheese. So they get make horse cheese. Yeah, no one thinks about that.
So they go around the Great Wall. They meet up with the mercenaries. China throws down metal spikes in the sand, you know, to hit the horses and stuff. You know, they're kind of prepping them. They get to the wall of Beijing, because it's a walled city. It's huge.
And they're used to flatland battle.
They're used to flatland battle.
Let me backtrack a little bit on this, because some of the stuff that I read about when they took Beijing, and it was called Zhongdu at the time. They had 90,000 troops, Genghis Khan did. that area that they were attacking had a million troops.
Yep. Wow.
One of the tactics that they did was they rode through the countryside, destroying small villages, but not killing everyone.
Yeah.
So they would kill all the livestock. They would destroy all the crops. They would kill some of the people and let them flee. And they were systematically, tactically going all sides of the city and destroying everything. So there was suddenly this influx of tens of thousands of starving people. Yeah. At the gates of Beijing, and then the troops, in order to restore civil order and keep up morale inside the walls and have enough food, had to kill tens of thousands of their own citizens.
Oh, I didn't see that.
That were hungry at the outsides of the wall. Yeah. So he didn't even have to kill the people that they would have relied to defend the outside of the city. He scared them all, chased them into the middle. They had to fight themselves off and run out of food. And then it was even, you know, it was all peppered and ready for the attack. So, I mean, the psychological warfare he did,
and that's
was
insane.
Fucking crazy.
Yeah. Well, so along with that, he picked up architects and engineers who defected from China already.
Everywhere. And everywhere he conquered,
and actually,
he valued.
Yeah, he gave them, that's who gave him the siege technology.
Yeah.
You know, the battering rams, the catapults, you know, all
and
that
stuff. And they had cut off the supply chain, so they just sat there and ate everything that they were trying to, supplies were coming in, so they just took their time. Like, they had time to learn how to engineer, cut down trees, and fucking build
catapults. That was part of the system was that no food was able to get into Beijing.
Right.
So they have this walled city. There's millions of people, or actually there was they had a million man army and like 350,000 just regular citizens.
They actually turned to cannibalism inside the city. It got so bad.
Yeah. So they ran out of food. He ran them out of food. It got so bad. They were eating each other.
Jesus.
And then he's like, okay, we're ready to attack now.
And this, and again, it's really important to emphasize a thing that helped build the empire, which we just touched on. Everywhere that they would conquer, they would go through, they would typically kill the royal family because they're not worth a shit.
Right.
They would take the people who would prove loyal and would be useful. Mm-hmm. And if you were an engineer, a craftsman, an artist, if you could weave a basket, if you could forge steel, if you were a scholar,
Project Paperclip.
Then you were valuable, and they would take you back with them on the road.
Which we do now. Like, we took all the scientists.
Yeah. But they would, anyone who had any technical know-how, they would spare and they would take with them, and they would fold in and they would do their knowledge. So, I mean, in Arabia, they had the best steel and the best horses, which means Genghis Khan's people had the best steel and the best horses. Yep. In China, they had fucking rockets. Like, you don't think of rockets in warfare in 1200, but they had it in China. They had gunpowder. So Genghis Khan had gunpowder, and then when he would go to Eastern Europe, and they've never heard of such a thing, he's fucking shooting them with rockets. And we have the best bows, we have the best fucking swords. Their technology was just unbelievable that they had, because they kept taking everyone who knew something instead of killing them. He was smart enough to spare all of them and give them a pretty lavish lifestyle, so they would keep thinking and keep inventing and keep creating. So when he got to Beijing, they were masters of siege equipment. They had catapults. They had all kinds
of. They built them on site right there. That's cool. They didn't have to bring it.
I kept thinking too, like, you know, as you're looking up stuff about Genghis Khan and like how he came to be, I was like, wow, this is really like the Vikings, like how kind of the same thing. Like they raped and pillaged. They just killed everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference was, and why he was so successful, was that he kept those people who were valuable.
Yes.
He didn't just kill them
because
of his own, you know, masochistic ways. He was like, oh, you're an engineer? Great. Show me how to do some shit.
Right. Right.
Well, he only attacked China because he knew that it was going to come at him.
Yeah.
Like, it ultimately ends up being.
Well, he had to surprise them.
He's trying to keep some peace. They're trying to knock out all the guys that are giving trouble so that he could relax and establish.
Because ultimately he wanted peace. He wanted a peaceful society, which that's why I said in the beginning, like, very weird. Like, he went and fucking killed upwards of 20 million people and more, you know, who knows how many. And all he wanted was peace.
Right.
Just peace on earth for everybody.
And one more war technology that they had that other people didn't have that I read is that their horsemen needed to be agile and quick. So they didn't wear armor. They wore thick silk, like thick
that,
flowing silk.
Yeah, I was going to mention that.
Because
that.
When the air, when, because their main threat was arrows. So the philosophy was you should be good enough with a sword that if someone comes at you with a sword, you can defend yourself yeah. and you
and,
don't
and
get
hand to hand combat. They were very good they were at hand to hand combat. They were good with the sword.
Right.
Their archers were great with. Right. With arrows.
So their only fear was other arrows hitting them. So instead of armor, they wore thick, loose silk because what would happen is the arrow would hit the silk and something about the nature of the silk would make the arrow spin more than it already
That's how they made yeah. bulletproof skin. Remember yeah. the goat silk milk? Yeah. That's how they yeah. did yeah. that. So silk
it would hit and it would spin. So the arrow would suddenly spin the silk and it either wouldn't penetrate you at all or it would kind of penetrate you, but all you had to do was pull the silk back out,
right.
which means you weren't going to get infected by a dirty ass arrow. You probably weren't bleeding yeah. that bad because the arrow is already right. stuffed with yeah. silk. Like, so they were quicker. They were more agile. It didn't slow. Like other people were wearing armor, so they yeah. couldn't have horseback archers because the armor would prevent it. So just the technological advances they had just were better than yeah, anything. They were just destroying.
Infection was a big thing yeah. back then. You know, you think about that. There's no doctors. There's yeah, no – that's one other thing that Genghis Khan did was he kept doctors. So right. they were able to fix people. And then also like the when they fought China – they shot them those giant clay pots
that's what I was about to
filled
say.
With
even
feces.
after starving, like starved them all out. He finally attacks them, and they still had like fucking archers up there that had been feasting on humans or something to save their yeah. soldiers for last. They shot clay pots, giant clay pots on, that were filled with crude oil, mm-hmm. chemicals. It said
and feces.
Molten metal yeah. and excrement.
Yep.
What a fucking gnarly bomb, right?
You get hit with that. If you don't die from Jesus it, you're probably going to get
infected. And at this point, Genghis didn't have like a gunpowder rockets really stuff yet. So when they saw that shit, it was like, what the fuck? They just threw yeah. a shit bomb at us. Like it exploded in a fireball.
They didn't know it was a shit
bomb. You hadn't
bomb,
seen
though.
A
yeah.
fireball. You saw storms yeah. of arrows. You saw swords. But all of a sudden, this thing comes barreling through the sky, hits in a fucking fireball explosion. Probably looked like magic to them and then right. smelled like shit.
Right.
Yeah. Like, what the fuck? Just had molten
like
metal
and burning,
shit?
Who's burning the bag of shit on my front? Porch.
So, yeah. but he, in the light of that, he sees that and he just says, fucking take the wall, put the ladders up anyways, yep. move forward. And he made the prisoners push all the fucking catapults and battering
rams. That was smart.
So they shot their own fucking people. He made yeah. them.
All of the prisoners, he knew that most of the first wave was going to die. So he sent the prisoners to push all of the siege equipment yeah. in.
Into place. Yeah. And then they stormed into place yeah. and went to the ladder.
And I was and like, that, wow, that
was
that
a tactic that he used a lot, apparently, yeah. was he would take the prisoners from wherever he had kept people that weren't loyal, that weren't whatever, yeah. and they were forced at spear point to charge, you yep. know, and they were, from what I read, a lot of them were even told, look, if you charge and you prove that you're fighting for us and you
we're
live,
yeah.
you're with us.
Right.
Yeah. And if not, you're going to die either by us or by them. So fucking get with it and do yeah. your shit. So the other thing that also propagated his psychological warfare because now people had this impression that no one in his army even feared death
yeah.
because the first wave ran up and like seemingly died. Willing to yeah. die. And they were
killing their own
right,
people,
but they didn't know that,
yeah.
you know, either they knew that, which was also psychologically fucked up yeah. because now I have to, oh shit, that's Jim.
Yeah.
You know, that's my cousin down there and I have
and
to fucking kill
me.
Him.
Yeah.
You know,
they
so
just threw a little Mongol hat on him.
Yeah,
they're
exactly.
like, here you go.
So either
on.
You know you're killing your own people, which is going to fuck you up psychologically, or you just think that their people are so hardcore they don't care that they're dying,
yeah.
which is also going to fuck you up psychologically. So, I mean, he was just masterful yeah. at what he did.
So in past molten shit bombs, they scale the walls and they battering ram through the door and they make it in, and the Chinese general kills himself like samurai yeah. style. He's so confident victory at that point, he just fucking leaves. Genghis Khan left his army to take the city, just fucking bailed out and told him one order, total annihilation. That's what he says. So
kill
they stay for a fucking month.
A month.
They rape, pillage, and burn and plunder for a month.
That's how big the city was.
To the point Fuck. That like a year later or something, some people from somewhere
else. They were aristocrats. Like
somewhere
they came
from somewhere
in,
else
yeah.
come into the city and the streets were greasy with human fat that had melted from like all the murders and burning. The streets
and
were
there was
still
a
covered
giant,
in slick grease.
And there was a giant pile of human bones out in front of the
They described
the
it
door.
As a mountain of human bones yeah. outside the wall because so many people were killed and stacked outside.
Jesus.
And it took him a Christ. Month to kill everyone because that's how many fucking people and how big that city
And you can't
was.
Get out. Like, it's a,
no,
walled,
it's a
city
walled city
and there's a big ass army out. Like, there's no getting out. Like, yeah.
I'd have grabbed a Mongol hat and just
Fuck yeah.
started stabbing.
Walking around with a baby leg.
Yeah.
Try this baby leg.
They're all, we don't usually eat the baby leg. Oh, I'm stepping it up.
He's stepping up his game.
I'm hungry.
I don't think you're a Mongol. I shit in that guy's carpet. Oh, he's a Mongol. Yeah. He's with us.
I just shit in the castle living room.
He's with us.
Yeah. Good job.
I shit on his couch.
Oh, he's definitely with us. He gets a promotion.
He's a general.
So, yeah, and that's like the greatest city. That's the greatest city, like at the time.
It was the capital of northern China.
And the other great cities, which he went to after, were the cities in the Middle East.
Well, the thing is, he chilled out. So right after China, he chills, establishes culture, gets Chinese medicine, starts to try to make just everyone have a good lifestyle, and he opens that trade route.
And is this when he becomes Genghis Khan?
Yeah, they
Beijing.
Him.
Yeah, after Beijing, he basically pulls all of the Mongols together, and
appoint him. He was universal the king leader, of king of all, or something like that.
They hold a meeting of all the leaders of the regions, right? All the governors, all the whatever you would want to call them that are now under him, and
tribe leaders.
Yeah, the meeting is called the Kurultai, and in this they dub him the universal leader, which translates King to Genghis Kings, Khan, which is actually Chinggis Khan, but we say Genghis because it's like it's spelled
Genghis Khan.
I keep seeing it spelled Chinggiss Khan, but apparently Westerners just say Genghis Khan. Huh,
that's weird.
Maybe I think it's probably because
I've heard it pronounced Genghis. Maybe it is Chinggis.
And a thousand years from now, this podcast will be discovered in a digital archive, and they will call him Timmy.
Timmy and Jimmy. Had a kid feud.
If nothing lasts but this podcast, Genghis Khan's going to go down, and this is his historical record.
Yeah,
Timmy. Right. Yeah. I think it's just like us with.
Kids would understand it.
Yeah, I think it's just us not knowing how to pronounce things. I think like they realize, look, if we just spell it Genghis, it'll be closer to how they actually pronounce it because you can't pronounce it right.
We can't say Chinggis.
So, but he tries to settle down and create culture. And he actually says like the level of lifestyle that he wants his people to eat tender meat, graze their horses in vast pastures, and sleep in soft tents.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, that's the best you can do.
That's it. That's as good as it gets.
Tender meat, nice grass for your horses, and a soft tent. Yeah. I was like, man, this shit's rough if that's the best. I don't like camping. That sounds like camping to me.
Yeah, but in this, so he's completely suppressed all the causes of tribal warfare, so none of that small shit that he grew up in is happening.
Everybody's
anymore.
Unified.
Has a pretty fucking huge border for someone to try to come start shit.
He got rid of all the aristocratic titles, so all the old princes and kings weren't even around anymore to try to reclaim shit.
Yeah, he
established
his law, outlaw slavery.
He forbade the selling and kidnapping of women.
Of Mongol.
Mongol women.
You could have any other type.
He banned the enslavement of Mongols. He made livestock theft punishable by death. He ordered the adoption of a writing system. He conducted a regular census so he knew exactly what his population was and what they did for a living. So he knew how many engineers and blacksmiths, and he always knew exactly what his resources were. And no one had ever done a census before.
Sounds like
but
Hitler.
He knew that was very important. And again, he granted diplomatic immunity to all ambassadors because he knew the importance of trade and of all that sort of stuff. He also instituted a thing called the yam, which was, did you guys see anything about the yam?
It's like a potato.
No, it's actually a postal route that he creates through his entire kingdom. And what it was this line. It's kind of like the Pony Express. It's like this line of places where there are tons of horses and garrisons of troops. And if you were a messenger, you weren't just guaranteed passage. You would ride the shit out of your horse, get to the next thing, get on a fresh horse, eat some meal. 120
miles a day. Yeah.
They said up to 200.
Oof.
On flatlands, they could travel 200 miles in a day using this route.
That's getting it.
That was unthinkable.
Right.
So if something happened in some other part of his kingdom in a day or two, he was going to fucking know about it.
Yeah.
And everybody else is going to know about it in a month.
Yeah.
So, I mean, his capacity to gather intelligence, what his spies were learning, it was unparalleled to anything.
He knew the importance of it.
Al Gore actually created that.
That's right. He did.
It was the horse internet.
Yeah, it was the horse internet. And then because of this, it even spread more ideas. It allowed more scholars to get to places. And again, that led to these other places saying, saying, you know, please come conquer us. Like, you guys learn how to read and write, and I can worship my gods, and we have soft tents to sleep in. Like, fuck. Tender
meat. Nobody can steal my livestock.
Tender meat. Like, fuck. Where do I sign up? You know? So, I mean, so he did, I mean, as brutal and monstrous as he was, he also did bring massive cultural changes to every place that he touched. I mean, he brought, you know, unlike anyone else, maybe he brought technologies from all corners of the globe together, you know, at a timeline that wouldn't have happened for hundreds of years. It would have been hundreds of years for those blacksmith techniques to make their way all the way to fucking China, or for gunpowder to make its way. But he made it happen with a quickness because
he
was
the MMA of conquerors. Yeah.
He was, dude. Yeah. He was totally the MMA of conquerors. One story that I read that I thought was really cool was in 1201 in a battle, he got his horse shot out from under him. And he kept fighting, obviously he lived, everything was fine. But when at the end of the battle, he lined up all the enemy soldiers and he said, "Who is it who shot my horse out from under me?"
Which one of you,
like, which one of you motherfuckers shot the horse out from under me? And no one did anything. And finally a guy stood up and said, "I shot the horse out from under you." And he fucking immediately promoted him to officer and gave him the nickname of Jebby or Arrow. And he ended up being
his number two,
basically his number two. And he hired him because he shot his horse out from under him. And he was a badass. Like, he was his, he was one of his number two guys. And he got super recruited. And he, you know, he tried to kill him and shot his horse out from under him.
To battle, though, what we missed is that trade route. The one delivery that happened was, you know, he had the whole guarantee of peace on the trade route and sending ambassadors to, for trade. He sent an ambassador to Persia and they sent back their head. That he received a head on his own Pony Express.
Well, that's why he conquered Persia.
But he was trying to keep peace, and those guys were like, "Oh, here's a head," and they didn't know.
Well, it said that they how did it put it? That they gravely mistook his demeanor or something like that.
Yeah, because he was all peaceful. They were like, "Oh, he's over here fucking with gunpowder and like trying to do Chinese medicine and making laws and all this stuff." Yeah, so they looked at him like, whatever. And then he's like, "Oh yeah," and sent 200,000 troops to go conquer
and
them.
Killed a million people,
women and children and all. And then he was like, "You know what? Send an army west and see how far you make it before they stop you." And then guess what? No one fucking stopped him. And then he went to Russia and Poland and through all that shit. And that's when he contacts the Taoist monk, because he's like, "I'm getting fucking old." Like he's conquering, but he feels it coming. He's getting old and
he's still riding into battle. Yeah. He's still leading his troops when he's 62 years old.
And back then.
He's at the front of the fucking charge, fucking shit up at 62.
It's in Genghis Dog years. That's fucking,
that's old.
That's like 97 in Genghis Dog years.
No, he was still fucking owning it, though.
Brad, I need a giggle from you over there. Genghis Dog years was a good quote. Come on. Something. What are you doing? Biting your nails. Come on. Wake up. Nope. Silence. I knew we'd get a laugh out of it somehow.
So, no, he was... His tactics were unbelievable. They were super fast moving. They knew who to kill, who not to kill. They had the siege engines. I mean, it was just fucking unstoppable. I mean, it was literally unstoppable. There was nothing out there that could do it. And he did. He conquered. He
almost conquered the world. Like, I mean, if it wasn't for Genghis Dog years.
If he lived longer, he would have conquered the world.
Quote? There was some crazy quote about how big they actually were.
Like, I wonder what would have happened if he would have ran into like the Vikings. Like, he got that far west.
You're gonna whoop their fucking ass.
Probably. Like, history would have been changed for
No, he would have whooped their ass. And again, like the techniques.
And learned their boat techniques and traveled across to America.
That would have just got them across the ocean.
And that's the thing, though. Like, when I look at because I'm not like a huge, you know, medieval historian or anything, but like when I see the things he was using in warfare, I don't think of those tactics, those techniques, those weapons, those sieges for hundreds of years to come.
Yeah.
Like, he was just ahead of the game by hundreds of years, which, I mean, that's what wins wars, you know.
So during his reign, his empire was four times the size of Alexander the Great's and twice the size of the Roman Empire.
Yeah.
And that's before he passed.
Yeah.
Because
and it got bigger it grew. After
it doubled in
doubled
size.
Doubled in size when his sons took over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is
just kept getting bigger.
Doubled. Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy.
And another thing that he used to keep everybody loyal is when he would conquer someplace, one thing that he often did is he would either banish or kill the leader's wives. Like if there was a leader who he knew was loyal and he wanted on the side because they were, you know, the merit, they were smart, they were good at what yeah. they did, he would get rid of whoever they happened to be married to, and he would force them to marry one of his daughters. And then his daughters who were loyal to him would basically, they fucking knew about it because they were in the court. So he, like his sons were conquering and his daughters were being seated in all the other castles to watch the men that were running things. I mean, he fucking had it all. Like he was, and no one knows what he looks like because
and it was said that like the art of war didn't work against Genghis Khan. Like it was, you know, the art of war was written.
Right.
And it didn't work against Genghis Khan, like, because he was so out there.
Well, because he's like, my enemy, like he tells the enemy to fuck his daughter. He's like, oh no, here, I'm not going to kill you. I just conquered you. Marry my daughter and have sex with her. They're like, hey, that doesn't work. Are you okay?
Really?
I guess seriously? So.
But you're such a nice guy.
But the thing is, and that was part of the thing. Like I read all these things where he would conquer some people and be so nice and just boost them up. And then meanwhile, he goes to the next city and fucking puts the royal family under a fucking death banquet.
Yeah.
And it's like,
I mean,
when they get to your doors, you're like, are they going to kidnap all of us and force us at spear point to take the next city and die? Yeah. Or are they going to give us all silk and gold?
Every time they went into a city, though, he would say, kill anybody who resists.
Right.
And that was the thing. Except for
the cases where he was pissed off.
Yeah. Yeah. He's pissed off. It's kill everybody.
Fucking like, burn the place to the ground.
Destroy them all. But most times he was conquering. If you resisted, you died. If you didn't, you got offered a chance to join them, which it seems fair.
Yeah. And in the Middle East, he took what was Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, Afghanistan, and Iran. And
Kazakhstan.
That's what he conquered. I think he went all the way to Kerplunkistan.
Yeah.
So on his deathbed, did you guys see his quote? It's I have conquered for you a large empire, but my life was too short to take the whole world. I leave that to you. And then he appoints his son to succeed him, and he doubles the empire. And then the only reason they didn't take over the whole fucking world, because they doubled the numbers that he was already whooping ass with. His son dies. The current Khan dies while in battle, like headed through Europe. And because of some rule or law, they had to return to reelect. And so like in that shit kind of fell apart, the shambles, because they left battle. They broke apart and stuff, but if they had kept doing what they were doing, we'd all be right now.
He had multiple sons, and the firstborn son wasn't the one that got it because it was a meritocracy. The guy who was the smartest and whooped the most ass got it, and that was his son Ogedai. And then Ogedai's son was Kublai or Kublai Kai or Kublai Khan, which there's the famous poem about Kublai Khan, but that's Genghis Khan's grandson. But it really fell apart under Kublai Khan because it was too much to manage unless you were a fucking genius. But Kublai Khan, his discussions of what his grandfather looked like are the only things that lead to paintings or sculptures, because while Genghis Khan was alive, he forbade anyone to draw or capture or paint his image. His likeness wasn't allowed to be created.
Which is crazy, because he wanted to conquer the world, yet he didn't want anybody to know, because when he was, when he died, how'd the burial go?
They don't even, they're not even 100% sure how he died.
Well, they don't know how he died. They don't know where he's buried.
No.
And everybody who was there was killed.
Yeah. They killed all the witnesses.
So the biggest theory, the one you'll find most historians say, was that he got shot in the knee, and it got infected and it killed him. That's the most common theory of his death. The most common theory is he got bucked from his horse and trampled and had internal injuries, kept fighting the battle, and then died later. The second theory is that he got shot in the knee. Another group thinks he got killed from malaria. Some group thinks he was poisoned while he was trying to basically rape a Chinese princess. So there's a whole bunch of camps of how, but most people think it was either falling off a horse in battle or getting shot in the knee in battle are the number one and two causes. And they're not even 100% sure of the year. They think it was 1227.
He could be on Tupac Island.
He could be on Tupac Island.
Still alive, ready to conquer
the founder of Tupac Island. Yeah.
He got the elixir after all.
But yeah, so he died. No one knows where he's buried to this day. So they don't know if there's some crazy fucking burial chamber with all kinds of weird shit in it. Like, no one knows.
Well, all the dead bodies would be there.
Right. All the, because everyone who was involved in building the crypt and so on were all killed.
Yep.
So no one knows where he's buried. And apparently they even took an army of horses and had it ride for days over this massive area and trample everything, so there weren't even any tracks leading to where his crypt was. So there was just like no knowledge at all. They have it narrowed down to like some mountain somewhere, but archaeologists still haven't found.
Yeah,
I think he started the Borg. He's just out assimilating people.
He was just assimilating.
It makes sense. It's the same story.
Yeah,
I thought about that a lot. Brad doesn't know what I'm talking about.
I have no idea what you're
talking about. It's a nerd thing.
I got your back. Yeah. So yeah, so that's, the Mongols were the shit. Genghis Khan was the shit. His son was the shit. And like, he kind of gets, it's like, oh, Genghis Khan did all this stuff. And then it's like, oh, and then his son was kind of cool too. He kind of doubled the size of the empire, but we're not going to say much about him.
Well, no,
it's
there's,
like, fuck, that
no,
guy
there's
was
a
badass.
Whole, I mean, there's a whole, there's documentaries on just the heirs of Genghis Khan, like, because of, they went to great lengths to expand the empire. And they did. And so that's another story in itself.
I even read that even though the empire was broken, there were still direct descendants of Genghis Khan who were kings and rulers of a bunch of small empires once everything broke up. And I read that the last one to get deposed from the throne, direct descendant of Genghis Khan, still leading because of what was conquered by him, was deposed in 1920. So there was a relative of Genghis Khan sitting on a throne, and it didn't say the country, it was just some small area, but he got kicked out in 1920 was when the last of his empire.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a lot of years.
That's a long time.
Long
and I'm
time.
Sure that was probably Kerplunkistan. That was going to be some small place that you know.
The U.S. went in and killed it.
Yeah, that's right.
Installed a dictator.
Yeah, that was 1920. I don't think we were installing dictators yet.
World War One.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
So
sponsors.
Sponsors.
Dark Side Graphics messaged and said he wanted us to mention that he has the designer studio.
Yeah, he has his website set up now that you can like order custom shirts or something. I started to look at it this morning, but I ran out of time. But yeah, you can order shirts from him like on minimum quantities, like something small, like maybe one-offs, I think. And you can do your own designs or something. Yeah. You can upload your images right on his site and build the shirt right there and
place orders.
Yeah, it's really cool, actually. I just started going through it on my phone, though. I don't know how optimized for mobile it was when I was studying. Yeah. For other stuff. So
you can go there, darksidegraphics.com, graphics with an X, and you can also use the code SOFAKING to get 10% off of an order. So if you have a family reunion, you have a business, you have something you want to do some marketing for, he does big orders as well, but he's also trying to cater to smaller groups and, you know, you got a band or something, or maybe your podcast, want to use the same printers we do. Go ahead and go to Dark Side Graphics, or you can call him up and I'm sure you'd be happy.
You can put your dick on a shirt. He specializes on that.
Yes. Yeah. Mm. Yes.
You just can't show the head. They have
the
to
balls
like
are always
emoji. Emoji
the,
ball,
the balls are always bigger. Mm-hmm. Like if you send him a graphic, a dick and balls, the balls are always way bigger than what you sent him.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
He photoshops it. We don't know why. Welcome to Sofa King sponsorship.
Thank you, Kevin.
He's going to love that.
Yeah.
Keep going.
No,
I'm
gonna
side bust it.
I don't want to. You're gonna side bust it.
I want to side bust it. Go.
You want to side bust it?
Yeah.
Thank you, El Yucateco. Your hot sauce is beautiful, and I like it. And Brent wants to make love to it.
Yes.
Wants to. Are we speaking in the past?
Thanks. Before you had,
that's a 2-day experience. It's long lasting. No hot showers the next day. You got to take cold showers. The skin's extra sensitive.
Thank you, Digital Creations, for our coffee mugs, mouse pads, everything else that we have. Thank you, printdirtcheap.com, for our stickers. And if we want to get something else done in that category, you can also use the code SOFAKING there and get 10% off.
Salt seven. For awesome.
If you
flotations.
Like to float,
I need to float.
Yep.
I need a good float.
You need a good float.
I need
to too. I just don't have the time.
You do have the time.
My face is going to burn.
You don't have the time for something else. No, the jiu-jitsu thing. Like, I was like, I'm good. I don't have like any, like, I have bruises. I'll be fine. I got in there. I was like, oh my God, I'm getting stabbed in five places.
I got mat burn on my feet and my face. I got gi burn on my face. I'm beat up.
You need to get in there. You need to skip a day of training and go float.
Yeah, I should. So, speaking of mat burn and gi burn, thank you, Dan Camarillo. Camarillo Jiu-Jitsu. You can check him out, armhunter.com, and order some videos of him doing arm bars, judo for jiu-jitsu. You can get yourself a nice kimono with the Arm Hunter logos. And Dan is a legend in the BJJ community, so you'll be supporting him and his club and us doing jiu-jitsu. Anybody else? Did I forget anybody?
That's it.
I thank myself for sponsoring the show.
Angus. Hey.
Genghis Khan, roll with an angry mob that's firing shots. Not a Hollywood prop, we smoking the pot from the guy with the locks in the medicine shop. If you wanna know about my whereabouts, party at the warehouse, filming of the ratchet chick flick, Paramount Fahrenheit 51, burning up paper, hold shit down like a cruise ship anchor. Pissed off, let the pistol blow. Diddy in the club, let the quick style flow. Slow motherfuckers like Nest Cargo, sleeping on me must be narco. Left dick, yo, ex is enemy, titty flicks through the text like XXN. If I give you D, would you give me weed and the keys to your whip? She like, yes, yes, yes. Woodstock every day, man, I can't stop. Got drugs in my trucks and my huff socks. Party with the bitches at the bus stop. Why not? Loud motherfuckers at the 24 IHOP. Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, not you. You're cool, half baked, and I'm looking for the Oracle, bitch. Trying to find the answers just like you. Just like you, yeah, I'm just like you. But I got a whip and a chick plus two. We the role models that you look up to. Fuck high school, just get mushrooms. Confucius and cow shit, that's awesome. Money stretched like awesome. My gang is full of bosses. Hey, where you from? Oof. I'm Genghis Khan, ho. Hey, where you from? Oof. I'm Genghis Khan, ho. Hey, where you from? Oof. I'm Genghis Khan, ho. I'm Genghis Khan. I'm Genghis Khan. Mustache is a must have. If you wanna rule like a king, gotta look like one. Drink like one, smoke like one. Be ready for a little bit of fist fight fun. Knockout punch with a roundhouse kick. Shoes off, motherfucker, bow down, bitch. City flows go without houses. Chicken powwow, got your girl down for sex. Alpha male, I'm rolling up bales as big as Fidel cigars, ho. Tripping the skills, I'm flipping the scales. Korean Abdul-Jabbar, ho. Don't piss me off, got a gift from God. Came up poor late, Mr. Rob. Me and your hood is different, dog. Yo, Mr. Rogers, I'm City of God. 24K, go switchblades. AK 47 war paint face. Better obey, no we pace. Gotta pick a side like the OJ case. Lord of the flies, where the wild things are. Start a big brawl at the Fox Hills Mall. Stain on your shirt like barbecue sauce. Blood from your jaw being cracked by Con. Con, you know the name. Yeah, motherfuckers, you know the name. Can't spell Genghis without the gang. We take prisoners, fuck your chain. Don't bang, I bang hoes, I'm bankroll pursuing. But roll up, low youngin', and you better know what you doing. Hey, where you from? Oof. I'm Genghis Khan, ho. Hey, where you from? Oof. I'm Genghis Khan, ho. Hey, where you from? Oof. I'm Genghis Khan, ho. I'm Genghis Khan. I'm Genghis Khan. B-5-4-4. We be starting wars for fun. Why you throwing up that peace sign when peace ain't gon' come? B-5-4-4. We be starting wars for fun. Why you throwing up that peace sign when peace